Thanks for listening to this podcast. For more information about the City Gate, visit www.thecitygate.org.
I'm going to, I don't know if you ever finish anything, but I'm going to do the third and final part of Answers to Life Problems today. Two Sundays ago, I preached about the force of faith. How many of you know your faith has a force? Amen? When you've heard what God has said and you begin to act upon what God has said, it begins to exert a force to bring about change. Amen? It brings about tremendous change. And then last week, I spoke about answers to life's problem, and I spoke about improving your self-image. Let me just tell you, you will never rise above the way you see yourself. How many of you really believe you have spiritual eyes of seeing the Spirit? Hold your hand up. Okay? Well, then if you do, there's two things I want you to know about me. Number one, I have a tattoo here, and it says under construction. Okay? Because we're all under construction. But number two, in the Spirit, I'm about 7'3". Come on. Come on, think about that. And so you need to improve your self-image. Listen, you need to believe. I don't know if we have it on the table, but we have it somewhere. If you'll worry the people out there, they'll find it for you. But we have a manual that's got, I don't know, 16 or 17 minutes of confession that Milton Green used to do. Even we have it on a CD. And Stormy Taylor, a DJ, Christian DJ here in town, she recorded it for it. You can listen to it or confess it. I confessed it for 10 years. Can I tell you what? I was calling those things that were not as though they were. And I began to believe after about 5 years what God had said about me and not what I felt, not what my past had said, not what other people were saying. Come on. You know, I tell you, you know, every time we go back home where we're from, except the last time we went back, I always get asked this question. You still preaching? So I decided that the next time we go there, I was going to say, nope, bought a casino, a lot more money. And you know what? We went back and nobody asked me. Man, stole my thunder. But it's like everybody that knew me when I was a heathen, and I was a heathen, they're waiting on me to come back and be a heathen. I have to tell you, I didn't drop any breadcrumbs. I don't know how to go back to there. All right? And I'm not planning to go back to there. And so improving your self-image. But today, I want to talk about answers to life problems, and I want to talk about life's experience giving wisdom and cause you to live in knowing the best is yet to come. I'm just telling you, it's going to get better. Well, you know, the Bible says wars and rumors of wars. But in the midst of those wars, there are kingdom people that life's going to get better. I don't know about you, my life getting better. Some of you know, I won't give you the detail, that I'm a hunter. And yesterday afternoon, right as the bell fell, on the end of the day, I'm telling you, I was able to put some more meat. In fact, to be truthful with you, I gave it away. I blessed someone that needed, but I was able to put some more meat in the deep freeze. And I have to tell you, I'm going to do this for someone at 63 years old. I made a heaven of a shot, man, I want to tell you, at 5:45 yesterday afternoon. And so, you know, my son will tell you, I was more proud of the shot than I was the meat on the ground with it, because it was a pretty unique shot, to tell you the truth. But what I want you to understand, life gets better. But you don't understand, preacher, I'm going through hell right now. Just keep on going. You'll get through there. I've been in those times. Amen. You might even get through there before the devil knows you're there. I heard that on an old country. Well, I know some of y'all are so pure you don't listen to that type of music, but I have to tell you, I find life in some of those songs. Amen? Now, let me tell you what I want to open up with. Number one, I do not fully know my future, but I'm very interested in it. Can I tell you why? Because that's where I'm going to spend the rest of my life. You think about in an hour, that's going to be the future. Tomorrow, that's going to be the future. Everything that God's doing is going to be the future. See, I'm interested, see, because we spend our life. The second thing that I want to comment, I want to open on, the best guarantee of a good tomorrow is a great today. Do you know that you cannot enter into anything any other way than the way you left out of something? Can I just tell you, if you left the last church in contention, you'll bring that same contention into here. Man, that's good preaching. Do you know if you left that last relationship in contention, it will make a difference. What can you change? What can you do? It's important that you understand that you bring that. You can't, listen, we can never resolve every issue, especially in relationships. It takes two parties to resolve it. There's the will of two people. We're praying for a very desperate situation right now that we're heartbroken about a couple. And it takes both wills being yielded to the will of God. In fact, if you've ever gotten marriage counseling from me, this is how I teach it. If the wife was standing on this side in that corner, and the husband was standing on that side in that corner, and right in the center of this wall back here was Jesus. The closer the both of them get to Jesus, the closer they get to each other. Amen. So it's not about reconciling somebody back to each other. It's about reconciling them back to Jesus, and it's just a natural attribute. But let's talk about the wisdom. These are things that are important to understand. My life experiences speak to me very loudly. The true key to success is found in your daily focus. What are you focused on? I like what Thomas said. Can I share something? I love every one of you. But some of you find no value in the conferences and the special meeting and the special training that we do here, and you don't pay the price to go through it, and you suffer as a result, and we watch your suffering. But we don't do this. We don't come here, Michael. We don't do this with that. I'd like to. This is the kind of leader that I am. You know, this is what I want to do. You get in that class. No, I'm not past oil. But I want to tell you, if I discovered something that will change your life, I want you to have it. And as we've gone through the journey, and as we've gone through cleansing, and as we've gone through the various things, that's why we work so hard to get these things to you so that you can become healthy and you can live the life that Jesus Christ died on a cross so you could have. Yeah. I'm passionate. I had this statement the other day said to me by someone. Said, I've been watching you for years now, and the thing that I love about you is you don't invest in your ministry, you invest in people. Amen. And I said, yeah, I do. It's not something I think about, because really ministry is about people. Jesus invested in people. Jesus invested to help them change, to help them move into that place of destiny. See, the true key to success is found in your daily focus. What are you focusing on? We all got jobs. I mean, I don't. You know, I show up here about 2 hours on Sunday. I'm being humorous. If I told you my schedule this week, Monday night, Gulfport, Tuesday at noon, Gulfport meeting, Tuesday afternoon, Macomb, Mississippi meeting, and then Tuesday night, I'm in Monroe, Louisiana, meeting with Doug and Pam, who've been a spiritual son and daughter, about a new birth of their ministry, and then back here, you know, with it. So, you know, we all work and we're all busy and we all have a responsibility. The third comment that I want you to hear this morning is everything I'm going to say today is a result of God's goodness to me. When I was a sinner, He reached way down in a pit. When I was a prescription drug abuser that mixed alcohol with it, that was unfaithful in my marriage covenant, that went around hurting people physically because of the anger inside of me, He reached down to where I was at. I didn't have to chase after Him. Some of you have heard my testimony. I didn't like Tommy Tenney's book because it said God Chasers. I wouldn't read it because of the title. Some of it was me. I had a problem because you don't have to chase after God. He chases after us. I tell people, here's my salvation testimony. Many, 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 many years ago, Jesus began to kiss me. God began to kiss me. And finally, one day, I just gave up and kissed back, and we've been in love ever since. Everywhere I went, he was there. He pursued me. He paid a price with that. And the things that I'm sharing today are things that I have learned through experiences. See, it's a result. See, there's two ways to face the future: with apprehension, with fear, with suspicion, with the prospect of a future evil, accompanied with uneasiness of mind. You know, there's so many in fear today about where this nation is headed. I've got news for you. I don't believe that God's in control, but I do believe he's in charge. And if he's in charge, I'm telling you, he has the last say. And I want to tell you what he said. I will not have the righteous beg for bread. I'm telling you, I don't care how bad that it gets. God's going to take care of those who walk covenant. It might be leaner at times more abundant at other times, but I'm telling you, he wants to work with those that will let him work with you. He worked with you, Paula. I know you did, but when I saw your report, when he posted it, I did the happy dance. That little guy comes off the sick flag over Texas, but didn't dance near like I did, because I felt your concern almost to the point of fear. She got some doctors had a little bit of concern, but the biopsy came back clear. Why? Because God is a faithful God. And prayers went up, not just by this house, by many of her friends, because I saw them on Facebook. God answers prayer. That's the reason you need to tap into these prophetic prayer teams that Vicki, that we have, that minister, and going up to Dyersburg. Number two, another way to face the future is with anticipation, with a foretaste. With a previous view or impression of what is to happen afterwards, are you anticipating hell expanding or heaven expanding? I believe heaven's going to expand. I believe we're sitting on the edge, not on the edge, I believe our toes are in the water of the greatest awakening that this nation's ever known. I believe our toes are in the water of people getting born again right and left. I believe our toes are in the water of salvations coming. And I'm telling you, not in buildings like this that we've called the church. I believe it's going to happen out there where the church is operating. Amen? Get over. You know, Susan and I had one of the greatest joys and greatest honors this week, when we got to pray with a very precious person to receive Christ. Oh my God. I just wept later to watch the countenance of this person change and God begin. You know, and it wasn't like a whoo that he just came in, but just little by little we saw the working of the love of God begin to touch someone. And I tell you, that's what it's all about. We're going to have the privilege of watching this person become a mighty, mighty person for God, and God to do some incredible thing. And we're excited about that. Let me tell you how I live my life. I pray like it's all up to God, but I work like it's all up to me. But my work does not come from my confidence. My work comes from my conviction. Why am I headed to Gulfport to meet with a group of people who I've never met other than by Facebook and know them about starting an apostolic center? Why do I need something else to try to fit into a schedule that's already jam-packed next year? I can't believe you're not going to Wales with me. You know what I'm talking to. I just feel it. I don't know what we can do, but I've been asking God to send the money to you and the desire, you know, with that. And it's still open, man, with that. I just, you know, in England, fixing to go there for a couple of weeks and had a conversation, a meal with someone recently. And I'm not trying to stir you up. I would love that. I pray like it's all up to God. I work like it's all up to me. Let's talk about why wisdom causes you to live in a moment of knowing the best is yet to come. Number one, after 30-some years of walking with God, I've learned his character and I know he can be trusted. He never fails to answer my prayers. Now, can I tell you, he has failed to answer them like I asked him to answer them, because the way that I asked him to answer them was not wisdom. So sometimes he's answered my prayer in a manner that I wasn't prepared for, but it turned out better than I even knew that it could be. I said this to someone yesterday, and I want to say, or maybe it was this morning, I don't know, someone. You want to recognize the voice of God? Learn the character of God. He will never speak contrary to his character. People tell me all the time things that God has said to them that I know that God has not said to them, because he doesn't speak contrary to his character. Amen. Had a guy say to me one time, "The Lord told me to leave your church and never have anything to do with you as long as I live." You know what I knew? He's listening to the devil. God is a God of reconciliation. God doesn't tell us to divide and never. And can I tell you what? Only 4 years after that, I ran into this person in a restaurant, and he came over to my table and he said, "I hear you're riding a motorcycle." And I said, "Yeah." He said, "I got one." I said, "Great." He said, "We need to go riding together." I said, "Oh no, God said you could never have anything to do." No, I didn't. But I wanted to. I probably sinned in my heart. You know, if God told you, what's he wanting to do? Go. Isn't it amazing how when it's not a God word, it dissipates or evaporates and people no longer hear, you know, believe it or hear it or live by it. Let me tell you, I pray wiser. I pray in the Spirit. Can I just tell you, we are a Spirit-filled church here. I don't apologize for that. I speak in tongues more than you all. I get up in the morning speaking in tongues. One of my favorite places, speaking tongues, in the shower. And you ask my wife, she hears me. But I pray in the Spirit. I don't know how to pray for every one of you. I don't always know your needs. I don't always know what's going on. And so sometimes I just say, "Okay, Lord, today I'm going to pray for Gina. I don't know just how to pray for her." And I spend about 10, 15, sometimes it runs into 30 minutes, and I pray in the Spirit. I pray in the Spirit the whole time I'm on a deer stand, not for the deer to come. Well, a little bit, but no. I pray, "God, I'll just think about one of you," and just very quietly under my breath. I pray wiser because I pray in the Spirit. The Scripture says we don't always know how to pray, but the Spirit knows how to pray through us. One of the ways I pray wiser is I ask him to show me his will. Amen? Can I share something with you? Will you come? I don't care if you think I'm crazy. I'm going to share something. The couple in Mumford that won a third of $1.5 billion, I believe this group of people, you, under this leadership, is supposed to own acreage to create a retreat center and a place where people who have drug problems, porn problems, anger problems can go and be ministered. I've been asking God for 178 acres outside of Olive Branch since I've been here. And let me just hear what I'm going to do. After taxes, this couple's coming into $330 million. I'm going to write them and see if they will give us a grant. I'm going to assure them I will not draw one penny. They can be on the board of this ministry. I don't care how we get it. We need this place. We need the journey. Wouldn't it be great for $10 million to come in and take people like Carolyn or Thomas that could do more of the journey? Because they're limited in time with their response. Put them on staff. You know, I don't like the word staff. Put them on the team. I believe God wants us to have acreage so we can get people and take them to this place and carry them through with their fears, their anxieties, their suicidal thought, and get them healthy and healed. And I've already gotten their name. because they went on the Today Show. They made it easy for me. How many of you remember? Mary does. Just a short period of time ago, I told you that God had dropped in my heart that we were to find everybody that won the lottery and ask them, would they consider sowing in so we can buy this land and establish this ministry? I read in an old book somewhere one time, something I believe, it says, knock and it shall open. Ask and you shall find. Seek and you shall find. Listen, you have not because you ask not. They can read that letter. I'm going to write and say, this man's crazy. We're not about to get it. He's probably a charlatan. He just wants to buy a bigger Mercedes. And they'll miss God. Because I don't need things. But I need acreage. I need this ministry to expand into this. You know, we don't need it to pay off this building. We got a plan to pay this building off. We need it so that we can develop something. Number two. Why my wisdom causing me to believe the best is yet to come is I work smarter. Number one, I work with more focus. How many of you know what you focus on is what gets done? Can I just share something with you? The body of Christ and society in general is very unfocused today. Trying to work up a pastoral smile. The 28th of December was the cutoff for Rebecca's warfare training school. And some waited to the 29th to contact me. Many waited to the 26th. Come on. Procrastination is eating up society. What you focus on, what you focus on is what God does. We could turn this into a healing service right now by just simply focusing on the goodness of God and the healing of God, and God would do something. And so we need to work smarter. Thomas Edison said this, being busy does not always mean real work. Clay Nash said this, busyness without purpose is insanity. Some people follow me on Facebook and they talk, how do you do what you do? I do it with grace because it has purpose. You know, things that don't have purpose don't have grace. What is grace? God empowering you to be who He's called you to be. He didn't call us to be human doings. He called us to be human beings. God just wants you to be yourself. Can I tell you what? It's wonderful. I'm not the best communicator. I'm not the best preacher, but I'm me. Some of the young people around me call me the real deal. I love that. But I just want to be real. That doesn't mean He's not changing me. Doesn't mean He's not refining me. Doesn't mean that He's not working just as He is on you. But what I'm trying to say is be true to your heart's conviction. I sent Dutch a word last night and he's out in Mesa, Arizona, and he really confirmed it was good. But I heard the Lord say, this nation has been ruled by those that have trusted in their confidence, but the transition is at hand. It'll be ruled by those that trust in their conviction. Years ago, I did a conference with a worship leader that was Rick Joyner's worship leader, and a very gifted guy. He came with like 5 instruments. And he had something I've never seen for you musicians. He had an Ovation guitar mounted on a stand. He didn't have to hold it. He could just walk up behind it, and he could change from this instrument to this instrument to this instrument and lead, and he was just great. But the one that he was the least accomplished on was the keyboard. He was just learning to play the keyboard. But can I tell you what? It was the one he was the most anointed on. You know why? Because he was having to pull on the heart of God to be able to flow on it rather than his confidence on the other instruments. If you can do it without God, then you're doing it. If any of our worship people ever get to that place, they don't need God to help them up here, you'll lose your way and you won't find that presence that God wants you to bring. See, the object of all work is production or accomplishment or purpose. To either of these ends, there must be a forethought, a system, a planning, an intelligence, and an honest pursuit. as well is perspiration. You know, we've moved into a society that nobody wants to pay the cost. I'm going to try to do this the best I can. But have you noticed that many hotels are owned by people from foreign soil? And they come and live in one room of that hotel, and they live very meager until they can get it paid. You know, we know a group of guys now from Mexico that own numerous Mexican restaurants across West Tennessee. And can I tell you, they were caught one time, and the government stopped them to do it. They were actually sleeping back in the back in the kitchen. They'd let their apartment go so they could pay more to get their business paid off. They were willing to sacrifice. We are a no-sacrifice nation. We don't want to pay the price. Look at the hours that Sam Walton put in after his first bankruptcy, or J.C. Penney. When I was 16 years old, some of you have seen the truck, some of you don't know the man, but when I was 16 years old, I used to drive a truck all night hauling grain from the granary to the Mississippi River to be put on barges to be shipped, and I drove with two men who built multi-million-dollar trucking companies, one of them by the name of J.B. Hunt, who at one time was the largest trucking company in the nation, no longer is. Snyder is now the biggest. And another man by the name of Harold Ives. I remember when J.B. Hunt had five trucks. He probably owned, well, at one time he was buying one-fifth of everything that International Harvester or Navistar produced. In other words, one out of five trucks they manufactured, J.B. Hunt bought. And I remember he would come and drive a truck all night hauling grain and then go dispatch other trucks all during the day. We've lost that ability to pay the price to move into that. We've got to have wisdom. If we're going to redeem this nation, if we're going to secure our families, if we're going to plan for the future. Let me just tell you about working smarter, something I learned. I give my most efforts to my strengths, but I remain very aware of my weaknesses. Your strengths will produce more than your weaknesses. Build with your strengths, but remain aware of your weaknesses. Number three, you know why one of the tidbits of wisdom I've come into that I know the best is yet to come is because I choose my battles more carefully. Things that I would argue with you for days about, I won't walk across this room to disagree with you on. I told a pastor several years ago, I was invited to come and preach in his church, a friend of mine, and it was during the World Series, and the Diamondbacks were playing, and it was held in the state that I was in. And during that, while I was there preaching, some of his elders even and some of his church missed the meetings and went to the World Series. And he was just frantic about it. He was upset. He was beside himself. And I said, why? I'd rather be there and be there than to be here and be there. See, some of you are here today, but not possibly here. I'm being honest with you. I'm not trying to grow something big that's had a room full of people. If you'd rather be on a bass boat today, bass fishing or a deer stand, then you're better off to be there than to be here in your mind there. That's why I have a saying, wherever you are, be there. If you're in your car driving, be there. How many of you want to hear a funny situation Susan and I had recently? We went and saw the movie, The Reverend. Anybody heard of it? By Hugh Glass. I'd read Hugh's story last year, and I went to see it. Incredible movie. Pretty gory. But incredible. It doesn't follow the true storyline of Hugh Glass very well. And we came out of there, and my son texts me, and we're headed to the house, and I did what I shouldn't do, and I text him back, and my wife said, put that phone down. Don't be texting. And I answered her in a very strong voice. I said, I'm fine. As I laid my phone down, I pushed the button. And Siri on my phone said back to me, you're that and more. And what could have become a contentious moment became a pullover on the side of the road, and we laughed till we cried. And my wife confirmed Siri. She said, "You are that and more." Choose your battles. Tip O'Neill, some of you are young enough, you don't have a clue who that is, but I do. He said this, never kick a man when he's up. Don't ever kick a man when he's down. See, we as God people many times waste our energy fighting battles that are not necessary. Some battles are not just not worth it. A bulldog can outfight a skunk any day, but it ain't worth it. Amen? A bulldog can outfight a skunk any day, but it's not worth it. See, choose your battles. Can I tell you how to choose them? If you can choose a battle by being proactive, then it's probably God. If your battles are about being reactive to something, be careful. Let me speak to the intercessors. I want to tell you, Becca being here is key. Thank you, everyone across this whole territory. We had 50, filled her class up, and there was even someone that was sick and couldn't be here yesterday and paid for. It's incredible what's going on. It's going to change this territory. Everything I do is about changing this territory. It's going to change this territory. But I want you to catch this. You need to understand it's important that the intercessors now know that the watchmen on the wall are not there to tell us what the enemy's doing. It's there to tell us what God's doing so we can partner with him. There has to be a balance. I'm so tired of the warnings. I'm so tired. You know, I'm entitled to my conviction, and my conviction is I am backing and endorsing Ted Cruz. Let me tell you what I instruct you to do. Back who you have conviction. And somebody wrote me today and said, "Ted Cruz is the devil. You need to vote smart. He doesn't stand a chance of beating Hillary." Let me tell you what my declaration is, that she's not even going to get to run. Amen? I believe it's time that Teflon come off. I think it's time that the truth. I encourage you to go see 13 hours. Amen? I encourage you to do that. Am I going to quit being political? Are you hearing me? Number four, why I believe the best is yet to come is because my wisdom has caused me to live and lead from the context of my experiences and not from my head knowledge. Think about this. Head knowledge is okay, but head knowledge can get you into trouble. Mark Twain said this, "Anyone who has had the bull by the tail knows five or six things more than someone who has not." There is wisdom in me today through my experiences of failure that keeps me from making the same mistake over. I value my mistakes. I value my failures because I've learned how to fail forward. The best is yet to come because the wisdom that he's given me is knowing how not. You got to recognize that moment when you're about to make that wrong decision. When you're about to open that door again to go back into it, an old nature, an old vice, an old something. It's there. And if you'll recognize that moment and do what the journey teaches us, find someone to stand with you at that very moment. You can win over anything that comes your way. Number five. The wisdom that I gained teaches me that I'm less impressed and influenced by what influences others and more able to discern what God is revealing to me for this time. Someone said to me the other day, I was sharing something actually with Becca, that God had told me about this nation. And she was just in a high-level meeting. And I mean, I could drop names about it. And she was saying to me, Jane Hammond gave us that same word. And then someone said to me, I was sharing something. They said, "I bet you saw that on the Elijah list." I don't subscribe to the Elijah list. It's not because it's wrong. I don't want to hear from God through the Elijah list. I want to hear from God. And so if you hear me saying something, someone just told me the message I preached recently on apostolic centers in contrast to apostolic ministry, said, "You must have read Chuck and Robert Heidler's book." I haven't read it on purpose. I'm going to flesh this thing out inside of me. I'm going to become one with it. Then I'm going to read the book and get confirmation. Or maybe even improvement. The way that I'm communicating or the way that I need to see it. But I don't want to hear from that. Too many people are trying to hear from God through too many things that that other people are writing, or even they're hearing things other people are writing, and they're going out broadcasting, and they're only an echo and not a sound. I can only be a sound to the things that I become one with. I'm not just a man that carries truth. I am truth. Because every bit of the wisdom that comes to me, I become one with it. And when you become one, if you touch any part of God, you touch His love. And if you touch any part of a follower of Jesus, you touch truth. Answers to life problems. Being wise. Am I going to be influenced by what other people are being influenced? Heard something the other night in a sound, and had to be guarded here a little bit in worship. Very talented, very gifted with that. A lot of people with that, but the sound was off. And I recognized the sound wasn't right. I don't care how great your talent is, how efficient you can hit the keyboard right, or mix things are coming forth. It doesn't mean you're releasing the sound of the kingdom. And most people can't tell the difference. This is not a sham. This is not a slam with it. But the whole time that everybody was running way back, running after Hillsong, I kept telling Susan, something's not right. That sound ain't right. And the whole world ran after them. And how many of you know there was adultery going on and interaction of worship leaders on that team during that time? And even one of the young men put out a farce that he had cancer and raised hundreds of thousands of dollars, and he never had cancer. See, you don't know this stuff. I don't want to be right. I've done conferences in Portugal with Brian Houston. I've known him personally, know his dad, Frank Houston, before he died. I know these people, they're great people. Don't hear me wrong. What I'm trying to tell you, there's a sound that comes from heaven that has the sound of the kingdom, and it don't always sound like everything else sounds. And you got to learn to recognize the sound of the kingdom. And I kept telling my wife, and I told my worship leaders back then, something ain't right. And then every once in a while I'd go, this, you're just critical. There's something wrong with you. You need to pray through. Why would you discern this and nobody else to discern? And people were buying the CDs by the hundreds of thousands with that. And I kept knowing. And then later on it began to come out. I prayed for them during that time. I did what I thought to do. I didn't want to expose them. I wanted them to get it right. See, truth with wrong motives, or music with wrong motives, becomes the spirit of divination. You can write the right words, set it to the right tune, but if your motive is to raise money or sell CDs or other things, it's wrong. Number six. I know from the wisdom that the best is yet to come, because the number of committed people to the vision I carry and the purpose of this ministry and house is becoming greater and greater. I love how you honor me, Vicki, with all of your questions and about the teams, and you make me a part. But you're doing a great job. You've carried the prophetic healing teams in this house to places I couldn't carry them. And I appreciate the honor when people come and they get my input on something. But I don't, can I tell you what? If I put you in charge of it, I put you in charge because I choose to trust you. And if you get in trouble, run back to me and I'll help you clean up the mess. But can I tell you something? I wouldn't allow you to do it if I didn't choose to trust you, because see, trust is a choice. Respect is earned. I chose to trust her. She's earned my respect. Same thing with Dan. One of the things that Dan Billman said to me years ago when we started this work, as I'd leave town and he'd preach and I'd never call, see how many was there, how much money come in, what he preached on, all that. And he said to me one day, I don't know if you remember this conversation, he said, I can't believe you trust me that much. And even back then, I used to believe that trust was earned. I no longer do. I believe trust is a choice. Respect is earned. Are you hearing me? The number of committed people is growing. The number, the vision, the purpose of this house is becoming greater than it's ever been. Can I tell you, we have people here now that can share what they've learned. Whether it be Thomas or Carolyn or whoever that's here, or, you know, whoever with that. They can take what they're learning and share it. You know, one of the things that, just to make, I'm going to be meeting with the leaders, but I feel very strong. We need to have Don Lynch come in and do Freedom 101, 202, and 303. And we need to, I think it's another part of what we need here to get people healthy. I believe it's a way of helping people understand how they can grow in their deliverance and come into that. And so I'm trying to find a time when he can come in, because it's very hard to find when we can do five sessions at a time. Might be the answer to something you put on my table, Dan, about certain seminars. But I feel like he's supposed to come in and release this so that we can develop freedom teams here. You know, you have to understand deliverance is good, but if it doesn't branch out to where it's bigger than just session, it's not going anywhere. You can spend the rest of your life and never get around to all of it. Same thing with the journey. The journey has a limitation because it's so small and it's so limited and we're limited on what we can do. Am I making sense to you? Share what you've learned. Another reason I know that I'm very comfortable about the committed people is because we left the comfort zone. It's not comfortable always to build the kind of ministry. Someone was just here a couple of Sundays ago, and they came to me afterwards, and they told me four things if we do better that we'd be a better church. Well, three of them we ain't doing. The other one I'm praying into. Because I'm not looking to be the kind of better church that this person has an imagery in their mind. It's not that they're wrong. It's not what God's given me or the blueprint or the master building design that he's given me. I don't want this to be a better church so we can get more numbers in here. I want to equip more of you to go out and do it. Wouldn't it be great that we grew up to 300 and equipped everybody so perfectly we just sell this building and quit doing this and everybody just out doing it? Touching more people than we do on a Sunday here? I mean, is that the wrong thing to believe? See, if you're insecure and you need a bunch of people to need you, you're going to pour into your ministry and you're not going to pour into people and let them become bigger than you. I got news for you. Vicki Billman has become bigger than me in the prophetic healing teams. And much of what she learned in the beginning, she learned from me, going way back when they were at Central Church. But now she can do it. Some of you, and I'm picking on her, but there are others in the room that's the same way. I've watched our worship team grow in wisdom. You know, used to, we'd do a conference here, and they start off with six songs nobody knew. And it would just frighten. I mean, listen, their heart was right. It was frightening. And listen, when you do a conference and you have people out there, many streams and many, you better do a few things that everybody knows to get them flowing together. And let me tell you how I know that, because I've been conference out. I mean, I'm the guru of conferences. I've done as many as 18 a year. It doesn't make me smart. It just makes me know what not to do. You got to pull it together. There has to be a flowing together to get people to flow together. It's easy on Sunday. We're pretty well, you know, a house. We're a family. We're a body. We've left the comfort zone. Another reason I know that the best is yet to come for this house, because we have people here that know how to teach a good work habit to those who are less mature. Think about it. The very thing I was speaking over you when I prayed for you. I've watched you grow in wisdom. I've watched you becoming that mighty woman of God that you were 10 years ago, 15 years ago. Even when it was so difficult to come in this building, you struggled with it because she'd been hurt And she equated her hurts to the fact that authority hurts. Not in this house. Authority empowers. Is a friend. And when you come in alignment with authority, it makes you greater. Let me finish this up. Now, the last thing. We're very focused. Two more things. We're very focused on training others. We're also, this whole house is becoming a dream. A team because of a common dream. See, I believe God is building here at Citygate a dream team. I believe when Thomas and them do the journey, or Jeanette does cleansing, or Susan does, I call it enduring freedom. You don't know what it is? It's Sozo on steroids. Amen? I mean, she's bad to the bone when it comes to that. I mean, I'm just telling you, she's like a jack in the box that every time you move it any at all, the jack comes out of the box when it comes to getting people set free. That's the reason I call it enduring freedom. See, there's a lot of things that will get you into freedom, but enduring freedom. How many of you know George H.W. Bush would have, when we were in Kuwait, would have not stopped there and went on over into Iraq, we wouldn't be battling what we just battled under his son. If they'd have let MacArthur go back during World War II, we wouldn't be dealing with some of the Muslim situation that we're dealing with now, because he had a plan and presented it to our president at that time of what to do with it and prophesied what was coming. And we're right in the middle of it. And somebody will write, how do you know all this stuff? Because I read and I study and I love history. I don't want to make the same mistakes that we've made in the past. Number 7. You know why the best is yet to come? Because the wisdom that I've grown into tells me that appreciating life and the lives of others is far more important than appreciating a ministry and a Sunday morning service. Everything we do, maybe not perfectly, but everything we do as far as leadership here, we're making decisions of how it will grow you into the bigger person God's called you to be. Can I just tell you, I don't have to preach. Some of you wish I wouldn't. I'm not telling you that I'm a good preacher, but I'm telling you my experiences are being perfected by being willing. I'm the guy that's willing to jump off cliff and build the wings on the way down. I'm the test pilot. And one of the things I will tell you, Susan and I do not preach theory. Michael Rush, did I have the wisdom for y'all back in your hard time? I'm telling you, God has given me, and I honor him for it. You can call me, and it kicks in. And I'm telling you, I said 2 or 3 things to that couple that when I got off the phone, I told Susan, I ain't never said that before. You know why? Because I'm yielded and surrendered to Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not preaching about me today, but I'm preaching about me because I want to raise you up to where the same thing happens for you. God's got you at your workplace so that you can become the counselor. You can become the voice of wisdom. I appreciate my life, and therefore I value the life of other people. Tim Yancey, you thrilled my heart last week when you gave the word. It was very important with that. And I want to tell you, I love you, man of God. And I know you've been through tough, and I know the enemy's thrown everything he can against you, and he's kicked you around. But I'm telling you, you're tougher than the circumstances that have come against you. And your God is greater. And I just want you to know, when you kind of detoured a little bit there, I'm not talking about into sin, but on your journey, God said he's fine. He'll find his place back to where he's supposed to be. And I want you to know I'm proud of you. There's strength going to come in this next season. Because it's true. I can't think of the person that said that, but what doesn't kill us makes us stronger. Right now, I think my elliptical Bowflex treadmill, whatever that thing is trying to kill me. Number 8. I believe the best is yet to come because the people of this ministry and church are more proven than ever before. And that you're proven. Deborah, you're being proven. Everett, you're being proven. Myrtle, you're being proven. Jonathan, you're being proven. Ira and Francine, I'm not just picking on these. I'm looking with it. You're being proven. Steve and Paula, you're being proven. Chloe, you're being proven. I've watched you grow into the beautiful woman of God that you are. And I want you to know, I know your parents are proud of you, but I'm proud of you too. You're being proven. What does it mean to be proven? To be tested. How many of you realize that God never sends a test to make you fail? He sends a test so you'll understand you're greater than you even thought you were. Can I tell you where your strength is? In knowing how to draw on Him. Dawn, you're stronger than you even knew. Dawn has gone through the loss of her husband. The one thing that I tell, I don't know if she's ever heard me tell, but she is the most perfect blend of my wife's strength, Susan's strength, and my strength. Never saw it until she lost the spouse that God gave her in a premature death, for those of you that might not know. See, we never know how strong we are. You know, the guy that jumps on a hand grenade and saves everybody in the foxhole, he didn't get up that morning saying, well, you know, today's the day I'm going to jump on a hand grenade. In the last moment, there was a strength that he was willing to sacrifice his life. Even Jesus said, take this cup from me. No, not my will, but your will be done. Let me just share with you. This is a Mount Olives year. Mount Olives is where he said that. Not my will, but your will be done. Those that surrender to God this year is going to reap where they didn't even sow. I'm just telling you. There is an exodus coming. There is a downsizing of religion coming. They're going to come to ministries that are vibrant and real and life-giving and ask them to take their buildings. We're going to reap where we didn't sow. You know, Dutch has prophesied 2 or 3 times, grow this house to 200 to 300 so you can launch an assault into Memphis. I believe with all my heart at some point, and not before, I've been foolish in the path to going too quick, but I believe it will come that we'll establish something in the heart of that city. And it won't even look like this. Thank God. Not that this is wrong. Number 9. The wisdom that I've gained tells me that the best is yet to come, because our gratitude for what God has done and our attitude for what God is going to do is greater than ever before. I have greater expectancy than I've ever had. Can I tell you, I don't remember if it was Thursday or Friday. It must have been Friday when we had the opportunity to just share with someone who was hurting. And we saw them receive Christ. Oh, it fired me up. There's a harvest that's here. You know, just a few months ago, you know, we might remember, you know, on a Sunday morning, we had 6 or 7 people born again here. So much that it fulfilled the word, and we stepped out and you helped us, and we bought a baptistry that can be ready in a moment's notice to be filled and to baptize people. Because I'm just telling you, we're going to get into where, you know, I don't know about 24/7, but it's going to be at least a monthly baptism that takes place here. God has shown me that. See, gratitude is about being thankful for what God has done, but attitude is being thankful for what He's doing and will do. I'm trying to remember the details. We have a granddaughter named Hannah. Hannah Rain. She is so petite and so, she's not fragile, but she just meek and mild and everything. And in the school system she's in North Carolina, out of all the students in the school, they've chosen her. And she's going to be going, what, this summer, is it, Susan? To about engineering. I mean, she's only 9 years old. She's not the one that I thought they would pick. but they've chosen her. Can I tell you what? The favor. You know, 613 years after King David died, God looked down to one of his descendants and extended mercy and favor because of David's faithfulness, because of mine and Susan's faithfulness, because of Susan's parents' faithfulness, because of my parents' faithfulness. God's looking down to our grandchildren and extending favor. And he'll do it for your children and your children's children and more to come. Are you hearing me? And the last thing I want to share, the wisdom that God has given me, why I know the best is yet to come. I want you to hear this. I don't want you to miss this. And that is just simply that we're not an accident. We've been chosen by God. I remember in 2006, Dan and Vicki Wood, Thomas and Kathy Wood, trying to think, Miss Doris is here, she would. You know, when we started this ministry on December the 4th of 2004, 70-some ministers came in from around the world and prophesied over me and set me in as an apostle in this territory because they had the witness to do so. And all of my enemies and many of my friends said, Clay just setting himself up to be an apostle. And the rumors went out and people spoke bad and da-da-da-da-da and all this stuff. And then, by providence of God, we had the opportunity to host James Gall here on a Sunday morning. And James came on a Sunday morning and he re-prophesied everything. Those, not all 70 prophesied, but the men that and women that came during that time, it prophesied. Roger Till had been here, and Dennis Davis and Robert Henderson and Phil Tudor and all of those guys that spoke. And in the midst of it, James Gall came in and he said, they run all over this territory and they say that you're not an apostle and this is not an apostolic house, but I, the Lord God, say it is. You know, some of the people heard it. We posted the prophecies on the website, and they called me and repented and wrote me and repented and said, I thought all those other prophecies were just your friends, your comrade, prophesying what you told them to prophesy. Like, I really want that spoke out. And things begin to change. Are you hearing me? Number 10. I want to say it to you one more time, and I want to close this out. Answers to life problem. Listen, we're not an accident. You're not an accident. Deborah, you're not an accident. Michael McKinney, you're not an accident. See, we've been chosen by God, but not only that. As Scripture said, many are called, but few are chosen. What it actually said in the original text is much stronger. Some of you heard me tell this over and over and over and over and over, and I'm going to continue. You got to get this. Many are called, but few choose to be chosen. He's called you, Everett. Do you choose to be chosen? He's called you. Jess, do you choose to be chosen? He's called you, Jonathan. Do you choose to be chosen? Shirley, he's called you. Do you choose to be chosen? Josh, Brandon, Deanna, whoever's here. Michelle, whoever's here. What if God, what if the voice of God and an angel appeared right now and he said, will you come with me? Some of us would go. Some of us would be critical. Some of us would say, well, I wonder if that's an angel of darkness. People ask me all the time about some of the signs and wonders I see and say, Brother Nash, right, let me just tell you, if somebody calls you, some of you call me brother here. I don't want to be ugly, but sometimes when people call you brother, it has a religious tone to it. But they say to me, Brother Nash, how do you know these signs and wonders that you see are not of the devil? I got a real good answer, a biblical answer. I know they're not of the devil because I don't serve the devil. I serve God. I'm not surrendered to the devil. I'm not trying to build a ministry. I serve God. I can't do signs and wonders. Only God can do signs and wonders. I can yield. I can surrender. I can trust Him. But only He can do these things. I have a friend that called for prayer. I don't mind you knowing Tim Lovick that's been here with Donald Stewart and ministered. And, you know, he had a little bit of an issue and passed out recently. And he went into the doctor, and the doctor found a blockage and said, but we need to do another test to be assured of this blockage. And he got prayer going. And he went back in. The doctor said, well, we got an x-ray here, and there's blockage. And we got this over here, and there ain't blockage. Something's happened. And Tim smiled and said, mm-hmm, yep, had me a talk with my physician, see what condition my condition was in, and he said my condition had been healed. The best is yet to come. You're wiser, you're more focused. I could go through it all. The best is yet to come. Now I want to end with this. Stand to your feet. And I want us to turn towards the camera back here. Would you do this? And we're going to pray for Henry Thomas, who's not here. You know, Henry's been on chemo, and his immune system is weakened, and he's battling some symptoms in his body. But Henry, you're healed. We just declare healing over you from the crown of your head to the sole of your feet. He was waking up today, struggling a little bit with breathing, that he just felt it was wise to stay home. Henry, we're in agreement with your total well-being. We're in agreement with your total health. We're in agreement with your total healing. Stephen Janice Hines, we're in agreement, Janice, with your healing. We're in agreement with God doing in y'all's life what he designed. I know you're watching, and we just bless you today. And anybody else, we just declare over Janet Douglas right up there in Evansville, Indiana. We don't care what the physicians have said. We're believing what the great physician is saying. And he says, by stripes you've been healed. We speak to your digestive system. We speak to your immune system. We speak to your body, and we say, take on strength, put on weight. Digest the food that comes into your body. Strength, come into your body today. And we declare these things to be so now in Jesus' name. Be seated for just a moment. I just want you to know I bless you. I'm just asking you to shift yourself in your thinking if you need to. Begin to look at the things God can do. Begin to look at the things God can supply. Don't look at your lack. Don't look at what's not there. Look at what is coming your way. Look at the door that's about to open. And I just want to speak over this young woman from Atlanta here. Would you just stand up with that? Yeah. I've forgotten your first name. I apologize. I should remember it. What is it?
Becca.
Okay. I kept thinking that, then Becca Greenwood then, and it just I was getting confused there. I see a door opening to you. It's going to be a door of provision, but it's going to be greater than that. It's going to cause your heart to beat with a new level of passion. You're in between. 11-11-11-11 is all around you. I'm telling you, it's transition, transition, transition. But God is about to open this door, and so, and it's greater than provision. The only way I can equate to you what I'm seeing in the Spirit is this. I watch Velocity Channel. It's all about cars. And all those guys that build all these antique cars and turn it into all this money are simply took their passion and have turned it into fortunes. I hear God saying, you're about to get to do what you're passionate about. But it's going to be a provision. And God's going to provide for your life. So he said, get ready. You are highly favored, Becca. It's like, I don't know you. I've met you a couple of times. But in your family, you carry favor. And it probably has something to do with if I'm seeing right, with your mother's mother. There was a real favor on her, and she had a direct connection with talking with God. But you get ready, there is a major significant transition door that's about to open to you, and it's going to cause the passion of your heart to just be stirred beyond measure. You know, it would be like, you know, I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, but I would love to have the money and the time to build an antique car. I mean, I just, you know, I would love to do that. Don't have the time and don't have the money to do it. But I would love to do that, but it'd be another thing. God turned it into where it was a business that that provided for me. That's what he's going to do for you, Becca. And you, y'all just stretch your hand toward this young woman. Father, we just seal this word and we just declare that it's going to come to pass in Jesus' name.